We are in the middle of our series called Wisdom. It's applying Proverbs, and we believe it's not about just gaining knowledge, but also knowing how to apply that knowledge. Because most of you know, as you journey in your relationship with Jesus and as you get older in Him, the more you realize, I don't know that much about Jesus, and I don't know that much about how He does things. Just when you think you have Jesus whipped, He pulls out something else. Because it's a constant learning and it's a constant gaining as far as what He has for you in this life. Because remember, it's not about just this life, but it's about where He's calling you and where you're going to spend eternity. And oftentimes we're praying about God intervene now and God saying, just get your eyes on me because I'm doing something from an eternity perspective. Because God can change your circumstance anytime He wants, but He's more interested in changing you. And so when we have that mindset, we could go through this walk a little bit differently and realize, just as Paul said, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. And so I promise you, if you take that perspective, things will start to change in your life because your perspective will change. And you realize that it's not about you, but it's about Him. And when it becomes about Him, and then you begin to walk in freedom. And that's what Jesus is after. He's after freedom. And now many of us in the world don't think that way because it's about us all the time. But Jesus, He debunks that theory when He says, come follow me. I'm going to change some stuff. How many of you, He's changing some stuff right now in your life? Just changing some stuff around. Changing the way you think. Changing how fast you quit. And how little we stand. And most of the time what happens in our life is that we don't stand as long as we should before we sit down in discouragement and defeat. But Jesus wants us to stand. It's easy to quit. It takes a lot more strength to keep moving. And so that's why we do what we do here, to keep pushing people to move in a relationship with Jesus, because He's looking for people who are going to finish. I promise you, the harder it gets in your life when you're walking with Jesus, on the other side, there's blessing. Because just before there's breakthrough, there's a narrowing. And it's like the final push before God bursts what He wants to birth in your life. And so if you're in that process and you're feeling squeezed, count yourself blessed, because He's producing something in you that doesn't come any other way. We're in chapter 16 today, and four verses only, because I believe that there's some things that we need to pull out. It's important for us. Verse 1, we can make our own plans, but the Lord gives the right answer. The right answer. Number 1, Father knows best. Many of us grew up with parents who didn't necessarily have the tools or the skills to push us to become the best us we could become. And there are stories of people in here who had some pretty bad childhoods, but the Lord took them, became their father, and became what they needed and developed them to become who they are today. Maria, you are a byproduct of your relationship with Jesus and what you've allowed Jesus to do, not what your parents did, but what Jesus did. Look back over your life and see where God took you from and plucked you out of, and what you didn't get and how He made up the difference. We talked a little bit last week about not needing anybody to teach us, because the Holy Spirit is the one who actually teaches. And when the Holy Spirit teaches, He teaches right. Teaches right. Because He sees the unseen. He sees the things that you don't see. We often get very infatuated by what we can see. And so when we are in this relationship with Jesus and we know that it's a walk of faith, when we don't see what we want to see, sometimes we panic, because we like to touch, we like tangible. But when the Lord goes to work, He does things to where it's the intangible things that are most important to Him. The things that make up the spirit part of you. That the things that are going to have eternal value, not just value here on earth. And so if you're looking for God to come through when you want Him to come through, you're going to be very disappointed, because He's going to come through at the right time and at the right moment and give you what you need. And oftentimes, and we said this morning, is that God is looking for you to move through things faster and to strengthen yourself. Guys, let's just be very honest. The times that God has dealt with me, it's not been a God issue. It's been a me issue. See how He sees and to have His perspective. And it wasn't until I strengthened myself and I got my eyes on Jesus that my perspective changed, and I realized that God is good, no matter if I thought I had what I needed and I was able to move through. Sometimes it's a matter of pulling yourself up and moving through. It has nothing to do with God coming through and delivering you. He already has. It's a matter of you pulling yourself up and say, hold on, this day is not going to be the same like yesterday was. I am pulling myself up. I am not going to succumb to anxiety today. I'm going to worship my way through it. I'm going to strengthen myself and move through it. And God sits up in heaven and applauds. Your depression does not move God. Your praise moves God. Well, I'm brokenhearted. He's near. However, worshiping him through the brokenheartedness is what really draws him in. Because he sees a heart of faith and says, oh, even though they're hurting, they trust me far above what they're feeling to know that I'm able to come through for them. And God says, okay, I'll respond to that. That's what God's looking for. It's different in the world. You're hurting. You drown yourself in a bottle. You stick a needle in your arm. You try to go comatose. There's no response to that except to go down into deep depression and depravity, and there's no hope. The Lord says, if you got me, that's not your road. You know the road. The road is worship your way through it. Get in my word. Get around community. That should not be your light. Christian, your light or your lot in life is not depression, depravity, and suicide. It's life. It's life. And it changes when your attitude changes. It will work if you work it. The word will work if you work it. And we sit suffering sometimes needlessly because of what we're going through, and we self-sabotage our progress because of what we're feeling. And Jesus says, if you'll just turn your hurt over to me and you'll praise your way through it, you'll see breakthrough. Guys, there's coming a time, and there has been a time, the Lord has reminded me, and I think he's reminding you today, stop feeling sorry for yourself. Just stop. All the stuff you've been through has made you who you are. Would you want to be any different? Jesus is not looking for soft Christians, soft people. Your makeup is who you are. You've been made in hardship. You've been made in trial. God has perfected you in difficulty. Thank Jesus that you are who you are, because God has something for you to do in a world who needs what you have. It does not need a soft, forlorn Christian who feels sorry for themselves and what circumstances they're walking through in their life. Jesus said, get over it. Just get over it. It's easier said than done. You got to walk it out. And I've said this before on multiple occasions. God has never let me stay in my pity party. Ever. Ever. You can sit in it and you can die in it, Richie. That's not my plan for you. Never. If nothing else, God has kicked my butt into walking again because he loved me that much. That's what a good father does. He knows when to get up on you and push you and when to back off a little bit. Never taking his gaze off you, but his method might change according to the season that you're in and what you're being taught. That's what a good father does. Doesn't leave you or forsake you, but sometimes will kick you to get moving. Never had that experience with God where God has allowed me to suffer without purpose. Never. God has never let me and left me alone to the point where I didn't have a way of escape. I just didn't choose it. I decided to succumb to it and get buried by it. Never, never did God leave me without a reason for hope. Always been a reason for hope. God has always been up in my business in one way or another, just looking up at me. And you know what that looks like for you when God gets up in your business? It's different than when your friend gets up in your business, because when God gets up in your business, he's up in the business. Like he's just, you're like, I feel Jesus all up in the business. Like you can't move. He's in the business. Like, sir, not like one of your teachers back in school who you nodded. And when they walked around, you're like, but when Jesus comes up with a bit, like, yes, sir, taking notes. Father knows best. He knows how to push. He knows how to press to get what he needs to get out of you. And some of you are all different seasons and different lanes in life. And he's pushing and he's pressing because he wants to get certain things out of you. And your road is different from my road, so I can't copy your road. There's no copycats in Christianity. That's why Jesus said, follow me. He didn't say follow someone. Because you follow someone, you're trying to copy their life. Stop trying to copy their life. You can't copy that grace. That code is different. So stay in your lane and allow Jesus to deal with you, because you don't want to come up in this one. And I don't want to come up in yours, so that Jesus can do his work in us and accomplish his overall purpose. That's why he calls us into bodies and in communities, because there are things that God wants to do corporately, but he also wants to do individually. But the work doesn't get done as effectively if you're not involved in some sort of body or community. Because there are things that the body gives you that isolation doesn't. There are times that you want to be by yourself, and Jesus said, no, I'm going to start sending them to you so you can get out of your head and do what I've called you to do. That's how good Jesus is. I want you to think about the times where you're like, you know, I'd rather just sit down and think about my life. And all of a sudden you got a phone call, woke you up, and now you had a minister. Because the Lord knows how to get you out of where you need to get out of, to get you moving again, and just kick you right off where you need to be. You ever start feeling yourself get discouraged or in one of those, quote, bad places, you know, I'm coming into danger zone. I got to change my perspective. Jesus sees the unseen. We don't. But he will give you a glimpse into the unseen so that you can know that you're not fighting a physical war. You are in a spiritual war that is taking place in this world. And there is warfare over your life right now. For God to bring into your life his full purpose. And the enemy knows full well that if you ever tap into that purpose, there's no going back to where you came from. And so it's God's full purpose that we're after. It's not ours. And so we have to navigate through those seasons and through the cloudiness in order to see Jesus in the midst of it. It's the unseen, not the seen. So we have to get our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That means I have to see with my spirit and not with my physical eyes. So I can sense that God is doing something because my spirit man has been made alive. And so if my spirit man has been made alive, I know that's how I communicate with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is doing something in me because Jesus is talking to the Holy Spirit and Jesus has the ear of the Father. And so all three of them are in constant communication. And I'm not arguing today and I'm not talking about three gods. There's only one. Okay, but they're in perfect unison. And so they're all about the will of God. That's why sometimes you feel that your body is, your spirit is groaning. There are things happening. Holy Spirit's groaning through you because he's trying to produce the will, the perfect will of God in your life. That's why the Bible talks about, I don't know what to pray, but I can pray in the spirit and the perfect will of God. Now we're in alignment and all of a sudden things start to break. And now I can see things that I haven't seen before. Sometimes it's a matter of you just breaking through to the other side so you can see, man, he is with me. Ooh, there is joy. Ooh, there is peace. There's more with me than there is against me. I just have to get to the other side. You just got to get to the other side. I don't care how you get there. Get there. Just get there. And sometimes it's limping. Sometimes it's crying. Just get there. And once you see, oh, I see breakthrough. Move quickly. Move quickly. There are times, and there have been times over the last probably 7-8 years in the process that God has had us on in this journey where I felt like the Lord has rushed things to my aid, rushed it, and said, this is for you. See it and move. And then it left. Because of the warfare and the things that were taking place, I need you to see this and move so you don't get entangled because the enemy's moving. That's how good God is. He'll come up behind you when you don't feel it and tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, this is the way, walk in it. He's out. That's how good God is. When you need it, he's there. But you got to be in tune. God knows the struggle. He knows the fear. He knows the hardship that everybody else doesn't know. He sees the unseen. He sees the depths and what you're groaning for and what you're believing for and what you can't even articulate. God says, I see it and I know what you need. Communicate with me. Tap me. I got it. And then when you see it, take it and move through it. Why? Because you're dealing with things that are unseen, not seen. Stop looking at what's seen. I don't like that person in authority. Has nothing to do with you. Look past the seen into the unseen. God's doing something different. That's why I can believe God in the midst of chaos. Because I know that he's in control. It has nothing to do with how I feel about it, but I know that he's in control because I know that I don't have to go by what I see, but what I can't see, because I'm not seeing with what my eyes can show me, but I'm seeing what the Spirit has shown me. That's why you ought to be careful on what's trying to distract you from seeing right. If your relationships are distracting you from seeing correctly, it's time to shift. Sometimes it's just a matter of moving down. You know how it is when you're at a movie, and some of y'all do this at a movie sometimes. You come in and you select your seat thinking, I pray no one wants this next to me. Or two, no one sits in front of me because I want to be able to see what's going on. And you know you've been in this situation before where it just so happens someone comes in and they sit right there, and this is not an average-sized person. Like, well, what? And all you got to do, you get up and you move over because you don't want anything obstructing your view. And what happens in our life is sometimes the enemy, he'll throw some stuff at us. And these distractions just come up and they sit right there, right in front of us. And we're trying to see Jesus, but all of a sudden, we got dad issue now we got to deal with. You never thought you had to deal with it, but now you got to deal with it. You never thought you struggle with abandonment until you saw that. And now all these feelings started coming up. Where did that come from? And now all of a sudden, the Lord's dealing with you about things in your life all because of that distraction. But you're not meant to stay distracted. Those things that are there to help move you. And so once you get over those things, it's time to move this way. But the problem is what happens with people is they get comfortable with the distraction. They have an affair with the distraction. And they fall in love with how they feel about it. And what they do is they go down these emotional roads that are not healthy for them. And they begin to infantilize about what life should have been like, but it wasn't. And they get caught up in the trap of what they didn't get. And the Lord said that this is not here for you to get caught up in what you didn't get. This is here to help produce something in you that I want to get out of you, because there are things inside of you that you're still holding on to that don't need to be there. So if I'm sending something in your life, it's for a reason. It's for a reason. I want to detach you. From things that are still sucking the life out of you. Because God says, I see the unseen. You don't. There are things inside of your childhood, God said, that you still hold on to and that are still trying to attach themselves to you and like little suckers. And God said, little by little, I want to pull that stuff off of your life. But I pull that stuff off of your life as you open up and give me access so I can deal with some of that stuff in your life. There's anxiety there because you're not whole there. There's still some stuff in there that's not of me from your childhood. And that's what abandonment does. That's what feelings of abandonment do. They bring into light things that you didn't get that God does not want you to major on, but God wants to heal you from. And sometimes it's so traumatic that God says, we got to go through a season of deliverance. Why am I talking about this today? Because this week, this is what I felt. We're byproducts of what we didn't get. And the enemy throws that stuff up in our face constantly. Throws it up in your face. Well, the reason why you are the way you are is because you were never poured into. There's a deficit because no one showed you. All this stuff. And then if we're not careful, we buy into that. We buy into it. And all of a sudden now it becomes who we are. You know what? I'll never get it right. You know what? Maybe I'm not who God says I am. You know, maybe the work that God has done in my life, maybe, you know, it's not real. Yeah, you know what? And then we listed all the reasons why we can't do, you know, it's always been hard, Lord. And all of a sudden now it turns to, it's always been hard. When has there not been a time where there has been some sort of reprieve so that I could have some peace and be where I feel like I need to be? And God said, listen, if I allowed you just to do what you want to do when you felt pleasure, we'd have a real problem. That's why I keep you off kilter just a little bit. So you can rely on me, so that when I heal you and you get perfected, your foundation grows in me and you have a less tendency to want to go back and feed on your appetites. This is good. People may not like it, but it's good. You don't think the enemy sees the unseen? You don't think he sees your life and the addiction in your life? You don't think he sees what you gravitate toward? That's why he weighs in on it and sits on it. You don't think that if there was a spirit of fear that was evident in your family of origin? You don't think that he knows that? You don't think that he comes in and every time you try to step out and you feel breakthrough, that spirit just begins to rise up and all of a sudden you can't step out anymore? It just paralyzes you? You don't think he knows that? You don't think he knows that once you begin to taste freedom, that you're going to like more of it, and so he keeps you bound just a little bit? But I thought who the Son sets free is free indeed. Indeed we are, but you still got to walk it out. You still got to walk. I am free, but I still got to walk out, because there are things I don't see that all of a sudden God allows me to see that I have to deal with. There is a spirit of pornography or lust in your family that we've got to deal with. I'm not saying particularly mine, but there are things. There are doors that were open when you were a kid that still affect you today. And you don't tell anybody about it, but they still affect you. He sees the unseen. That's why it's hard for you to accept love in the purest form, because it was never really shown to you in a right way. So when you hear that God loves you, you're like, okay. And then when God has the best for you, it's hard for you to actually rationalize that, because you never really saw that. And so there has to be a lot of work done. That's why, Maria, sometimes deliverance takes a season. It takes a lifetime sometimes for people to get out of stuff. He sees the unseen. My kids don't serve Jesus. If your kids are on the age of accountability, it's on them. You can pray, you can model, and you got to pray that God brings them into the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Or furthermore, if they strayed, that God brings them back. Lord, whatever you need to do to bring them back, bring them back. And that means including hardship. Bring them back. Bring them back. You don't think that God wants your whole household to be saved? You don't think that God wants salvation in your household for generations to come? Generations to come, because there will be, because you said yes. You don't think that God wants that, but the enemy also knows, because pleasure is so much more appealing than purpose. Why would I want to give up pleasure to follow Jesus? I never saw it modeled right. It takes a while. He sees the unseen. Lord, I don't know what I'm fighting. You're not fighting against flesh and blood. You're fighting against principalities and powers. You can't see that stuff. You can see the effects of it. So you got to learn how to come against strongholds and use the weapons that God has given you. Why? Because God wants to bring breakthrough. Because there are things that you think you see that you're not seeing. And until God shows you what it is, we walk in blindness. I always go back to the story with Daniel when he was praying. And he was fasted for 21 days. Finally, he got breakthrough. And he's like, hey, listen, Dan, we got you. Lord heard your prayer 21 days ago. But there's such a fight over what's happening right now. I had to go get some help to come down to fight through it, just to talk to you. You understand the gravity of that? You don't think that God hears you when you pray? But there are principalities and powers that are overshadowing that and bringing distraction and trying to obstruct that, so that it's hard for you to see breakthrough and to know that God's actually on your case. God is a super sleuth. He's on your case. And sometimes it takes a while to get that breakthrough, but I'm telling you, once you get it, see it, take it, and move, because they come every once in a while. I'm telling you, most of the time, we're walking and running in darkness. Lord, I believe you. And when you see the light, take it. Just take it. Oh, I see it. Thank you, Jesus. And what that does is, it keeps you moving again. Keeps you moving. And then back around. Next level. Next level. Jesus gives you some light. Thank you, Jesus. Keep moving. Lord, I'm believing for breakthrough. It's coming. It's coming. What? Do the things you've asked you to do. He sees the unseen. This 30-day challenge that we did, it's become 60 days. It might become 90. It might be the rest of the year. It might just become on the website what we do. Just check this out. This is what we're about. It is. It is. I'm just telling you, it's going to happen. So it's a forever challenge. No. We'll call it Forever 30. This is what we do. What you do here? Well, we got faith, we got fitness, finances, freedom, all that stuff. This is what we're about. We got core values, but we believe these five things are really important in our life. This is a way of life for us. Is it hard? Yes, it is. But the breakthrough is worth it. And we believe we do hard things. Why do we do hard things? Because we believe that Jesus has asked us to do hard things. He never said it was going to be easy. So it's just a way of life now, way of life. I got breakthrough. Now I'm moving. I got more. Believe in God for more. God has not giving me any sort of mandate to say, stop believing me for more. That's it. Believe me for more. I got more. Believe me. That's what the warfare is about. There's more coming. There's more. And I feel it in Jesus' name. He said, I got more coming. I just stand in it. Just stand in it. I feel it. And if he's charging you, it's coming. I got more coming, because he sees the unseen. You got to sense it first, though. And when you sense it, you get ready. Oh, man. The Lord will even let you know, hey, by the way, the enemy's coming after you. And you'll get a glimpse, Sharon, of just how he's coming after you so that you can see with eye to face. Say, thank you, Jesus. Step back, strengthen yourself, and keep moving. This week, look, I don't want to get out of bed. Guess what you got to do? Get out of bed. Even if it's slow, get out of bed. Start moving. Next scripture, Maria. People may be pure in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their motives. Why is this all important? Because Jesus sees the end. He sees you in victory. You got to see yourself in victory. If you can't see yourself in victory, you will walk around the most defeated Christian, not feeling worthy of what Jesus died to give you. Because you won't see with eyes of faith. It'll be about what you can see instead of what Jesus has already done. You're not called to be a victim. You're called to walk in victory. I don't care if anybody tells you something different, they're lying to you. You are called to walk in victory. Jesus wants you to win, not lose. People who are teaching you and preaching you other things about wrong perspectives, about what dying to self means, and about living a life of suffering, all that is part of the Christian walk. You are going to suffer in this life. That's just the way it is. We're in this world and we're becoming more like Jesus. But you are not supposed to walk around in the depths of despair and discourage the rest of your life. That does not honor Jesus and is a false sense of what suffering is. I can suffer well, but also have a smile on my face and praise Jesus, because we know the Lord's doing a work in my heart and that he's not done with me yet. I can still be blessed and still suffer. Yes, I can. I can still be blessed, suffering, and still have financial prosperity. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. I can still love well, still be suffering. I can still have a good marriage and still be suffering. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, God puts you together so we can work that out. All this stuff, he said, I got it for you. I see the end from the beginning. Now walk with me. I don't know where to walk. I got you. Walk. There's something bigger coming in God's house. There's something bigger coming. And the Lord said, if you'll begin to sense it in your spirit and what I'm doing, you'll begin to see with eyes of faith and know that everything the enemy's trying to do is to distract you and to thwart my ultimate plan in your life, but it's not going to work. But I need you to stay steadfast, God said. And when I stir you to pray, I need you to pray. And when I stir you to engage with me, engage with me. When I put a song in your heart, sing it. Because there are things that I am wanting to break through in your life that are only going to come through you and what I put inside of you. If you'll begin to open your mouth when I prompt you to do it, you'll begin to see breakthrough. And I'll begin to loose change in your life. And there will be freedom that will come in your life like you have not seen before. And that you will walk in a joy and a peace that will surpass even your own understanding. Because you know that it's me who's done it. God said, I'm tapping in you deep wells that go deeper than you think. And the supernatural is going to be part of your life on a consistent basis. Because when I created you to worship me in spirit and in truth. And walking in the supernatural is part of being a child of God. It is not something to be afraid of or to be fearful of. But I've called you to walk in power. I've called you to walk in love. And yes, the third, I've called you to walk in self-discipline. I don't miss. So there will be things in your life that you don't understand or you can't comprehend. It's okay. When you begin to trust me and lean not on your own understanding, acknowledge me, I'm going to direct your path, but I'm going to bring you into new levels of faith and freedom you have not seen before. The best is truly yet to come in your life. Why? Because when I start something, I finish it. In Jesus' name.